This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings this morning. Welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in. Again, if you would like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and my website address at the close of the program. You may want to contact me if you would like to be placed on the free subscription list for Grace and Truth, the monthly magazine that I publish in from time to time. You can re-listen to this program on the website, and you can read my weekly meditation there. So if you need those addresses, you'll want to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write them down at the close of the program. Now today we're finishing up chapters 25, and we're going to go on into chapter 26. We're not going to read the whole thing because, again, as we end up with finishing up chapter 25, we have been looking at three men, Felix, Festus, and King Agrippa. Felix and Festus were both governors, and King Agrippa seemed to be the king over the whole province. He was apparently from the family of the Herods. Now, as we look at these men, we see that Felix was the first one that Paul had to defend himself before, and then Festus took his place, and King Agrippa apparently came down to Caesarea, in a sense, to, from what history says, to congratulate Festus for being appointed a governor of that area. And when he came down, it appears that Festus had told him about Paul, and then Paul was able to make his defense before King Agrippa. And these men, at least some of them, two of them in particular, seem to have had enough background of the in what has taken place in their provinces that they must have heard the gospel before, but at least they knew something about this way that Paul was preaching. And so when we look at these men, I want to look to this morning at how they all had different ways of responding to the gospel, and how they all had different ways of avoiding responsibility. Paul gives his testimony to King Agrippa, and he tells how and why he became a believer in the Lord Jesus as Messiah. And so this morning we're just going to review their reactions to the testimony that Paul gives, because this has been an opportunity for Paul to preach the gospel before what we would call the great men of his society, the leaders of his society. And ultimately, Paul is going to go to Rome and preach the gospel to Nero. And obviously, that means that he's going to reach into the very highest reaches of society, which was at that time a very corrupt situation, a very corrupt society. Now with Felix, I've always felt the key verse with him, and he's the first one that Paul makes his defense before in Caesarea. We read in verse 24, chapter 24 and verse 25, "Now as he reasoned," that is, as Paul reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come, "Felix was afraid and answered, 'Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you.'" When I have a convenient time, I will call for you. Isn't it true that many people respond to the gospel in that way? When they listen to it, they know that there is a God in heaven that they are subject to, and they know that if they understand righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come properly, they fail in these areas. We're not righteous. We don't have complete self-control. Judgment is coming. And Felix was actually afraid. It appears that this message had a grip on him. And it's somewhat like people today, as we look at the current events in our world, and we think of how that we've had an oil well blow up in the Gulf of Mexico, and how we've had earthquakes in Chile, and we've had earthquakes in Haiti, and we've had earthquakes in now in Japan, and we had one in New Zealand. And as we look at these calamities and the resulting destruction that goes along with them, people begin to say, well, what is the Lord trying to say? is judgment coming? Is this the end of the world? And for a little while, there's a fear associated with what's happening. And right now, the fear is associated with whether or not we're going to be affected by the reactors that are apparently out of control over there in Japan. And so there's a fear, and we know that in this country we could have earthquakes too. And then again, we've just now started a war, or at least a skirmish with Libya. So there's another war going on, and people begin to think about Matthew 24 that says that in the end times, perilous times will come, and there will be wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and pestilences and in diverse or diverse places, and they do fear. But you know, many people really don't want to have personal responsibility before God. They don't want to be subject to God. And so when the calamity seems to be under control, they put off this matter of their soul's salvation for a little while till it's more convenient. And I assume more convenient means when it will no longer cost them their friends, when it will no longer make them seem odd in society, when it will no longer cost them their fun. And so he says, when I have a convenient season, I will call for you. And I'm going to tell you something right now. There's never a convenient season for coming to know the Lord. There's never a convenient season to die. But these things, but we die, we do, and we need to prepare for that day, and we need to recognize that Satan's going to make sure this season is never convenient for that. We need to take advantage of now. According to the Bible, now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. And so we can't be like Felix. Now, when Festus succeeded Felix, it says in chapter 25, which we have read in verse 9, but Festus, wanting to do the Jews a favor, answered Paul and said, are you willing to go up to Jerusalem and there be judged before me concerning these things? And you'll notice that with Festus, he wanted to do the Jews a favor. He was a politician. And so he doesn't seem to take personally the message that Paul is preaching, and he's concerned again about his position and whether or not he'll be able to maintain control over the Jews in his province. So he wanted to show the Jews a favor, and as a result of that, he didn't pursue the actual message. And apparently, because the Jews were opposed to Paul, that meant that he wouldn't be able to really take his message seriously either. Now, the message we preach is not a political message. The message that we preach is that Christ, the Lord Jesus, is a spiritual king today. His kingdom today is not of this world. He says, then would my servants fight. But his kingdom is coming, and it isn't really a message, as far as I'm concerned, that makes us an earthly people, setting up an earthly kingdom through the political process. It's a message that makes us a heavenly people and makes us interested in all people, that they might come to know the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Festus didn't have his eye on the eternal aspect of the message. He had his eye only on his own political success or failure. And when we're concerned about making decisions in a political way, that means we'll have to be concerned about what the majority think. And when we are concerned about what the majority think in the Bible, the majority always turn away from God. So Festus was apparently never reached and saved with the message that Paul brought to him. He never really understood the spiritual significance of that message. He only understood the political ramifications of the decisions that he made about Paul. Now then, Festus is greeted by King Agrippa, and apparently he's the king over the whole area of Galilee, and maybe a larger area than that. And Agrippa, in chapter 26 and verse 28, after Paul gives King Agrippa his testimony, King Agrippa says, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. And some translations say, in such a short time, do you think you can make me a Christian? But whatever the situation was, when King Agrippa heard Paul, he realized that Paul really wasn't just defending himself. Paul had an interest in King Agrippa's soul. And Paul was explaining to him, just as he had with Felix, how necessary it was for him to become a Christian, just like Paul was. And so, you'll notice, and we've already said this, that when Paul preached to Felix, he didn't just preach the, what I call the love side of the gospel. We do like to preach that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But he preached the Romans 3 side of the gospel. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He preached about righteousness, self-control, and judgment. So it appears that Paul gave a very balanced gospel. He talked about need and he talked about salvation. And it's obvious that King Agrippa knew about these things, and he says, almost, you persuade me to become a Christian. But you know, an almost Christian is completely lost. And that's what happened with King Agrippa. We never hear that King Agrippa was completely persuaded. And yes, I don't think that salvation is simply a decision. Salvation is faith in Christ. And I know that's a work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We have to be convinced of the truth of what we believe before we can believe it. But nobody is saved that doesn't want to be saved. We all make a decision if we're going to be in the Lord's heaven one day and part of His kingdom now, His spiritual kingdom now, if we're going to be translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, then we have to make a decision, and we have to be persuaded now that we need to be saved now. There still may be some need for someone to help us understand just exactly how we can trust in the Lord. We may have to have somebody take us to John 3:36, which says, he that believeth on him, he that believeth on the Son is not condemned, or John 3:18, I mean, he that believeth on him is not condemned, and he that believeth not is condemned already. And we may have to be asked, well, what does that mean? And we may have to have it explained to us that when we know that Christ died for our sins, we are believing on him. When we are able to believe that as gospel truth, we are believing on him. And we may need to have somebody show us that our assurance is in the Word of God and our faith is in the Word of God. It's not just a simple feeling that we have. It's a matter of believing what God said and resting on it. And so we make a decision that we want to be saved. And some people are saved right at that point, but most people still need to understand that he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And they need to be told to take God at his word, and they shouldn't be almost persuaded. They should be persuaded that now is the time to be saved, and they should take advantage of the day of grace, the opportunity, the work of the Holy Spirit, and trust Christ now. Don't be almost persuaded and completely lost. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon our program and upon the gospel and upon our listeners. We pray that what we have mentioned and said today will make a difference in the hearts and lives of those who are listening. We just thank thee for thy love as we commit the program to thee in our Savior's name. Now, our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. And my website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.